Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour, Darren, Donnie, could chase here on this Monday afternoon. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Friend of the show, Todd Rodemel, is on the line with us. He's with the downtown Omni Hotel, the beautiful downtown Omni Hotel. We haven't been over there in a while to see him, but we always enjoy doing shows from there and talking with Todd, and he is now on the line with us. Todd, how you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, it's kind of surreal, but it's Monday again, and just trying to get this city back to being vibrant and live music as quick as we possibly can.
Well, we just started phase two, I guess, what, a little bit less than a week for downtown Nashville. What did it mean? Let's just start, since we haven't had a chance to talk with you through this. I mean, you've seen, you're talking about vibrant, like you said. I mean, we've seen it, you've seen it, you've lived it. You're in the belly of that day in and day out at the Omni. What was it like? Let's start back to basically two and a half months ago, plus, of when just basically everything went quiet in downtown. And what was that like?
You know, it happened because, you know, the first night, that Wednesday night of the SEC tournament, they play the game. And then, you know, there were rumblings here because we were talking to the event planners with the SEC. And were they going to cancel the rest of the tournament? Were they not going to cancel the rest of the tournament? Well, sure enough, it happened. And then, boom, all of the leisure, transient guest rooms canceled, groups citywide canceled. I mean, you know, as Butch Spiridon said, that the tourism industry in Nashville has lost more money from this negative economic impact than the financial crash and 9/11 combined. I mean, we closed our doors like March 24th and probably will not open up until June 25th. And that's saying if we get to phase four, which is June 22nd, and everything opens up and there's no limits on the amount of people that can meet. So we're just crossing our fingers, get to June 22nd, and then let the crescendo build.
What have the discussions been like behind the scenes? Because you guys, along with everybody else, are going to have to do things differently. You're just like all of us, right, conducting meetings on Zoom, and everybody's conducting business differently. And then when you open up the doors, you're going to have to conduct business differently as well. So how have those discussions been?
You know, thank goodness we've got a great ownership in Dallas, Bob Rowling and the TRT crew, and they actually put out an owner's manual or a roadmap, if you will, everything from, you know, if we disinfected the lobby or the escalators, you know, twice a day, we're now going to do that four times a day. All of our staff members will have to wear masks. We are in the process of putting the plexiglass shields in front of all the front desk stations, as well as all of the hostess stations and Bob's bar lines and kitchen notes, and, you know, new ways of disinfecting the rooms and the hallways and the corridors and the, you know, even down to the remote controls in the guest room. So yeah, it's something that we've never had to do, but, you know, champions overcome adversity, and that's what we're going to do.
And so now that you've started to see Nashville, you know, open back up a little bit, obviously it's still not anywhere near what we saw before all this hit that you described on that Wednesday night at the SEC tournament, and basically by Thursday afternoon everything had shut down. What has it been like to see, you know, starting to come back around, not to the levels, but at least come back around down in your area?
Well, you know, it's significant. You know, I still come to the office in the hotel every day because, you know, we still have business to take care of with past groups and future groups and try to get more business on the books. But, yeah, back in late March, it was eerie. You'd walk, we'd take our monthly or our daily lap and walk down Broadway, and everything's closed and there's no one on the streets and there's no cars on the streets. And, you know, we've seen it lift a little bit about in the past week or 10 days. You know, Broadway was probably 50% back to normal when I did a lap through there on Friday afternoon. And, you know, I think it's going to do nothing but get higher and higher. I came down here on Sunday and just drove around, and I've never seen so many out-of-state license plates from Alabama and Georgia and Kentucky. I think that, you know, after being quarantined for 8 or 10 weeks now, people just, they just have to get out there, and they just have to get out.
Talking to Todd Rodemel, and he represents the Omni Hotel. We've done many great shows there before. So, Todd, before we get back to your business and where it goes with the Omni specifically, but you know, you guys obviously are located right in the heart of downtown. We saw what was going on all around, and we were saddened by it, you know, angered by it, all of those emotions. But just throwing it out to you, was the Omni okay? Was there any damage done to the Omni?
You know what? Fortunately, we made it. There was some graffiti on Bridgestone, and I like the tweet that Sean put out yesterday morning where the volunteers actually, after that events of Saturday night, Sean tweeted out there was actually volunteers coming in and,
yeah,
you know, getting the graffiti off Bridgestone. There was some on the Music City Center. You know, thankfully, we didn't have anything touched here in the building. I did come in with our GM, and, you know, we have to protect the asset, but knock on wood, you know, nothing happened here, thankfully, but I know that there's other areas of town. I came in, and I decided to make a drive down Broadway on my way in, and it's sad. Probably 30-40% of those businesses are now, they have plywood, and they're boarded up right now, and that's a horrible step back that our city did not and could not afford to make right now.
No question about it. Todd, I think a lot of people, as you just said, we have this desire now. We've been cooped up for a long time. People want to get out, and they want to do some traveling. And so they're thinking about, okay, what about staying in hotels and things like that? You just illustrated some of the things you guys are doing to take those measures. It seems like there's just that hump that we've all got to get over, right, that there's confidence in being able to stay places and feel like we're going to be okay. So I know it's got to be the mindset you guys have as you make all these preparations.
Well, it is. And you know, Willie, it's if you deal with a reputable brand, whether it's, you know, Westin, Marriott, you know, Hilton, Omni, if they're well-respected brands, you know, we're not going to do anything that's going to set us back. We're going to do what's right, what the government regulates. So, you know, to your point, if you're going to stay at Willie's Roadside Motel in Lebanon, Tennessee, I would highly advise against it for the near future.
I suck at that motion.
Just for the record, I do not have a roadside. It's not me. If there's a Willie's, it's not me, Willie.
Well, it's with an IE, so yeah, we know it's not
you. It's different spelling. So Todd, that's great advice. Though, if people are starting to travel, we've had conversations on our show about people who they might be part of a team that's traveling or maybe thinking about vacations. So what should they be thinking if you're the consumer? You know, is there what kind of research can you do?
Well, you could go to the corporate websites, like for omnihotels.com. You know, we have on there what all of our hotels are doing. We have, I think, of the 60 properties, I think we've got 22 open now. We should have the other, you know, 38 open probably by late July, early August. And, you know, we put on our website exactly what the standards are going to be, what the cleanliness is going to be. Are we wearing masks? Are we not wearing masks? Just, you know, what we're going to do to make our guests feel comfortable. Because, you know, this is our home. This is my home. And the Donics come and stay here. I'm welcoming you guys into my home. And by God, it better be clean. And I'm going to be sure it is.
Todd Rodemel is with us from the Nashville Omni Hotel. And so one conversation that, you know, we had with Butch Spiridon when a lot of this started, and we've talked to him a couple of times, is all the, you know, Nashville, and as we started this interview, everything going on in this city and stuff scheduled years in advance. And I know that's no different from what you do. So how difficult is it, and what is the process of rescheduling some of these things that, you know, you hope that you're going to be able to have in the near future, but how has that process been going?
Well, you know, fortunately, because of our destination and what Butch and his team has done to make, you know, Music City what it is, obviously we're a very desirable destination. And, you know, the meeting planners and the event planners with all of these groups that have had to cancel, you know, they understand that we are all in this business together. And, you know, with over 100,000 hospitality workers unemployed in Davidson County, they want to do what's right. To, you know, their first goal is obviously to reschedule it. Probably 80% of the groups that, you know, we have had that have canceled because of COVID and say, hey, I was supposed to be there in June of 20, but I want my business with you guys. Find me dates in June of 21 or find me dates in January of 21. So, you know, they're very amicable and they really, really want to help. So will we take off like a rocket ship? No. We just got to get meetings to happen, whether it's 50, 80, 100, then go to 1,000 and, you know, just let the momentum build. We've just got to get to phase four as a destination first, and then I think the floodgates will open.
You know, it's rare, especially in a city like this, that you have a chance to take a step back and do a deep evaluation of how you do things. I mean, things are going so fast that you just don't have any time to think sometimes. So what are maybe some areas that you've looked at, you know, from the Omni that, okay, now that, you know, we're coming back, we'll have an opportunity to maybe change this or this has been really good. Have you had some reflection time on just kind of how business is conducted?
You know, we have. We've been behind the closed doors to say, you know, hey, does Kitchen Notes, obviously with the COVID, will Kitchen Notes have a buffet anymore? You know, we don't know that. Right now, according to the CDC and everybody, they're saying that, no, you don't have that. So that means if you go to a banquet in our hotel for JDRF or whoever it is, you know, there's no longer going to be preset salads or preset waters. So that means more labor, that when you sit down, someone's going to have to serve you a plate, bring you a water. Nothing's preset. So yeah, we're looking at it from all different angles. And what it means to me is, yeah, we just got to be cleaner, which means more labor. Instead of one banquet server for two tables, it's going to be one banquet server for one table. Instead of a housekeeper cleaning 14 rooms a day, you know, at that new normal to make sure that the rooms are extra clean, may only be 8 rooms a day. So it's fluid. Let's say that, Chase. It's fluid right now.
I've got to be honest, Todd. All the years that we've done shows there in Kitchen Notes, I felt like you guys were always practicing social distancing with us. I don't know. You know, I think you were ahead of the curve. You were always kind of keeping us 6 feet away from everybody.
Well, Darren, that was by design. We just had to get everybody away from the biscuit bar when we knew you were coming.
Man, I am missing that biscuit
bar. There's no more truer words than that right there. That is absolute. By the way, your brownies are coming to town this year.
I saw that. I'm not getting my hopes up now. Come on, Darren. You know, we've talked about this, and they haven't won a Super Bowl in my lifetime, so there's only one way to go, and that's up, and I will be at that game. I can guarantee it.
I know you will, and thanks for the visit. As always, you continue to be safe, and we hope to see you in person here down the road.
Thanks, guys. Can't wait to have you back in the building, and I will keep the biscuit bar ready just for you, Darren.
All right. I appreciate that. I'm hungry listening to that right now. If you've never been to Kitchen Notes, I'm just here to tell you, you're missing out. I've done it all, whether it's their breakfast buffet. I've had lunch there. I've had dinner there. Their food is absolutely fantastic at Kitchen Notes. And we do appreciate Todd Rodemel for joining us. And just wanted to get a little perspective of downtown, whether it was over the weekend or throughout all of this. I mean, just think about that. They've been shut down since the middle of March. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. This may have been the last concert I saw.
That's a good one.
Yep.
When I watched Rocket Man yesterday, so this is why.
First time?
Yeah, it was.
Good movie.
It's good.
The musical aspect of it was like kind of strange at first. When I first, because I didn't know it was a musical. I thought it was just going to be like, because I watched Bohemian Rhapsody before that and then watched Rocket Man. And I was like thinking it was going to be a straight just document or biopic. And then all of a sudden he comes back with a musical. And I'm like, that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I honestly liked it. I thought Bohemian Rhapsody I liked more. That's just me. But I've liked all these. All the documentaries about, you know, artists or groups, I've really enjoyed over the years. So I think they'll continue pumping those out because I think they've been a huge hit. So
I don't know about you guys, but I have found myself, you know, we were talking about TV shows and on Netflix, like what we've been watching during all this. I've kind of shifted into movies. At first it was more TV shows and some documentaries, but I've been like watching the Marvel movies. That's kind of where I've been lately.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't get into those.
No?
Mm-mm.
I like them.
Yeah, they're fun. I just watched it. And some I've seen, some I haven't. I'm trying to watch in order, in chronological order. So it's been
Do you guys
How
agree?
Many? They're like 22 or something like that?
Yeah.
22 of them?
I mean, there's a lot of them. I just watched the first Guardians.
I've probably seen
Guardians of the
14?
Galaxy.
Had you never seen that before?
I hadn't seen that one. I haven't seen either
That's
one of those.
I didn't know what I would think of that, but that those are good. There's two of those, right? And they're also in the, what do you call it, the big Avenger?
Yeah, the Avengers War Game or End Games.
They get interspersed in there with everybody else. That's what they try to weave everybody together.
And I haven't seen, actually haven't seen End Game, so I'm leading up to that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You need to see that.
I know.
Do you guys agree? I mean, the one that stood out, the first one that I thought it was outstanding was Straight Outta Compton. That was awesome. I can only imagine. I enjoyed that one. But all these, Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man, all about the groups, I've really enjoyed. I think they've
those are good.
They've been done well, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. And Straight Outta Compton is one that is fantastic.
that is good.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the James Brown one? Get On Up.
I have not seen that one.
I haven't either.
It's actually pretty good. It stars Chadwick Boseman, who plays Black Panther, and he also plays Jackie Robinson in 42. So he plays James Brown. He's actually pretty good.
Wasn't Ray kind of Ray's been a while, but that was kind of
Ray
one of the first.
Well, it was Ray and Ali. Like, those two were, like, huge. Because I think Ali came out in, like, maybe 2001, whereas Ray came out, like, 4 years later. Yeah. But that was a big hit.
I thought the first one was School of Rock. I thought that was a good documentary.
I think Ray was before School of Rock.
Yeah.
Was it?
I actually think it
was. It was C.J. Sanders when he was a kid, and Chris Sanders' son is, what, 22?
Ray was 2004.
Ooh.
That's about right.
School of Rock.
Been six years
School
old.
Of Rock might have been a little bit before that, though.
School of Rock was what, 2001?
03. I think it was 02, 03.
It was.
I think 03 sounds right when you say
2003.
Yeah.
But wouldn't we consider Almost Famous a biopic, too?
Kind of. Not about a real band, though, right? Or was it supposed to be?
Well, you had the
Led
Doors.
Zeppelin?
You did have
the Doors was good.
The Doors was
good.
That's going way back. That's well before any of those.
So I mean, there have been musical type movies like that we're talking about. It just
like
seems
I watched
like
Yesterday. Have you seen Yesterday? I was like, it didn't work for me.
I didn't like
Yesterday. Let's talk about. We had John Solomon on Friday, and we were talking about some of the youth tournaments. He wrote a big article on USSSA, which UTRIP for short, and we talked about some of the youth tournaments starting to get cranked back up and how they had already been happening in Florida. The one in Lawrenceburg, there were actually four locations because there were 132 teams from ages 7 to 14 in this tournament, which comprised of 132 teams. So they had four different locations. I think it was Loretto, Lawrenceburg, Lewisburg, and I don't remember the fourth. But I have talked to some people that were there. I had talked to people prior to Friday's interviews when we talked about it to see kind of what they were putting out as their list. And I read them on Friday, kind of their rules. And so I've done the follow-up. Had a really good lengthy conversation with somebody that their kid participated in all weekend, and it pretty much went as planned. I think the only thing that I was curious that was kind of new to me, I wouldn't have known the answer, was did they have to sign a waiver? And indeed, they did have to sign a virtual waiver. So if you had not signed the virtual waiver, you were not allowed to play. So that was probably the only – everything else – I mean, I thought it was exactly what I thought it would be. Look, there's only so much you can do. The umpires, they said, really did not touch the ball. They really did try to hold true to that. In fact, they even asked at some point, I guess, to speed it up, to have a coach. Because, you know, typically if the catcher doesn't catch it, at least at our level, you know, the umpire usually a lot of times just go back there and, you know, get it and just throw it back to the pitcher, right? Well, obviously mm-hmm. they weren't doing that. So in this case, to speed it along, if there was maybe a catcher that was having a hard time catching, they put one of the coaches back there to just speed up the process, just quickly throw it back. Because I knew that would be an issue. But as for trying to, you know, tell ongoers that are walking or whatever on a foul ball, you know, screaming at them, don't touch it. I mean, that really didn't happen. You know, wiping down balls every half inning, that really didn't happen. I mean, that stuff like that, I mean, it's impossible to enforce. What do you do? I mean, it's not like you're going to have people sitting camped out from the tournament, the organization camped out in each dugout to watch everything. So they tried. I heard they tried to do, you know, a good job of as much as you could expect in that situation. So overall, I heard that they felt pretty good about it. You know, they felt good about how it went. Everybody had a different approach. We had a scrimmage on Saturday, and I had to have this conversation with their coach at the end when we decided to wrap it up of, okay, what do we do now? What do you want to do? And we felt like our two options were elbow bump or just line up and hat tip. And we decided to line up across from each other at a safe distance and face each other and tell them thank you for the scrimmage and hat tip. And we went about our way, and I heard that's basically what they did in the tournament. There were some that chose to do elbow bumps, but most of them just did hat tips.
Well, this is good to hear. I had some my son's team played a scrimmage on Saturday, and there were some people who had been some parents who had kids playing in a younger division that did go to that same tournament you were talking about down in the Lawrenceburg, Lewisburg, that area that hosted. And one thing of note that was passed on to me that I like to hear was there was somebody walking from field to field trying to just encourage people in a nice way. Hey, you know, hey, can we make sure we spread apart? You know,
They did do that. I was told that they did when they were warming up away from everything that they asked them to, hey, kind of separate a little bit more, that did happen. So, yeah, I had the same thing said to me.
And I think that's going to be important, right? And so we had a really good discussion amongst the parents about some of the stuff that we were looking for and some of the stuff we wanted to see from particular tournaments. And so there are tournaments. I think Georgia got the green light to open up and have tournaments. And as we know, I mean, Atlanta hosts a lot of them. And there's two different kinds. There's stuff at a complex, right? There are complexes that host a lot of teams. And that's got one set of concerns. And then other tournaments are spread around. We played in one in Chattanooga last year, for example, that were at all the local high schools, right? So you have concerns with both, right? There's some things that are better about one and not as good about the other. Like a complex, you have more people concentrated in one area. But at the same time, you have a complex that is, you know, controlled. You're right there. The people maybe can do a better job of sanitizing things and have an awareness. And you have, you know, you closer proximity, but you also have the ability police may not be the right word, but you know, encourage people, hey, this is what our policy is. We're all right here. Let's make sure we're doing it. I think they've encouraged, for example, one parent to come, one parent per kid, one relative per kid, so that they can keep the numbers down, for example. Another thing that came up a lot was, well, but that's the policy, right? That's what you got to be. Another thing is when you're playing at local high schools, how much have they been cleaning, for example, the bathrooms at the high school baseball field? Probably not at all, right? So what happens there? These are all things that come up in the terms of cleanliness and trying to mitigate the circumstances as much as you can, minimize risk, all of that stuff. So everything that you can do helps. I agree. There becomes a point where the whole thing about wiping the balls down, that's just, it's not feasible. But we did have a coach who is also a doctor that lended some great insight. He said he's trying to stress to his team the only thing that you should be sharing on the baseball field is the ball, right? Don't pick up another kid's bat. Don't use somebody else's bat. Don't use somebody else's glove. So the ball, we, you know, realistically, you can't clean the ball every time. It's not going to happen. But if you can have the mentality in the player's mindset, let's make sure the only thing you are sharing is the ball or close to it, then you're doing what you can.
I was told that, now remember, that I'm just getting a perspective of one division, one age group. I don't know all the age groups, but their age group, their division, they did have hand sanitizer in the dugout that was provided by the tournament. So that was a bottle of hand sanitizer in every dugout. So that was interesting to hear. I wasn't sure how that was going to work because you were asked to provide your own ball, right? Because, you know, usually the tournaments have their ball, but you were asked to provide your own team ball, and they did have hand sanitizer in the dugouts, which was pretty interesting.
I have a question for you guys, and I'm taking this a little bit of a different place, but I'm just curious, in any of your conversations, has it come up? You know, Willie, you brought up the point of one parent per kid and limiting how many people, you know, are there to watch. Has there been any discussion, or have you heard of any discussion with these tournaments of having more of an online streaming element so people can watch, whether it's a grandparent or the other parent, like if mom brings the kid and dad has to stay home or vice versa, you know, has there been any discussion with that? Because with software and things available now, it's relatively easy to do.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious if that's come up.
Well, I can tell you in the past, if you have the right parent, who is maybe a little techie. We had a parent one time, for example, and I was on the air. You guys might remember this. My son hit a home run a couple years ago, and there was a Facebook Live feed. One of the parents put their phone or, you know, whatever hooked up to Facebook Live. I don't know, maybe it was better than phone, but they had it just behind home plate, and you could see what was going on. And so the parents that weren't there could watch the game. So, as you said, Chase, it's relatively easy to do. The other thing a lot of parents do is they'll video their kids' plays, right? When they're involved, maybe when they're up to bat or when they're pitching or something. You're probably not going to video the whole game on your phone, but you'll take clips and send it to the parent. So the parents are used to being separated. A lot of times there's a couple of brothers or a brother playing over here and a sister playing over there, and you got to divide the family to get everybody to the game. So the parents are used to not being at every game. There's also these apps called Game Changers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Where you can follow the game pitch by pitch.
Literally pitch by pitch, yeah.
Extremely nerve-wracking if you're not there. I can tell you, when my son's pitching, I almost can't even watch pitch by pitch because I'm just like, tell me at the end of the inning what happened. It's so crazy.
But you have to pay for
the emotions.
And somebody's got to do it.
I mean, yeah,
somebody
so
has
how does
to.
It work?
Somebody has to
do
plug
it
in
from
the
your
result
team.
Of the play.
Yes,
yeah, result of the pitch. And every team I've played on so far has a parent that has enjoyed doing that, and they've done a great job of it. And of course, they got to be the official score. So sometimes you see something on the game changer, like, okay, grounder to short, infield hit. Was it a hard hit ball? Was it a chopper? You know, you can't have every detail, but certainly those parents are to be commended for that. So I think that part of it, there's already kind of a process in place, Chase, but maybe somebody will take it to the next level. I don't know about a real nice complex like this Lake Point in Atlanta, or there's a great complex in Jackson. By the way, Nashville could use one, right? It would be great if we could have one. We talked about it in the old Greer Stadium area. That would be a cool place for it. But there's one in Hoover, Alabama, right next to where they play the SEC tournament. There's one up in Indiana outside of Indianapolis that's a real nice one. I know they have some high-tech stuff that they have radar guns, and they're keeping stats of the tournament. It's pretty high-tech with that. I don't know how much they have a live stream of each game.
It's a really good idea. I just, once again, I don't know. I mean, you know, I didn't see this. Some of these places are out. You know, I don't know, Chase, you're much more tech savvy than us, how much what you need to pull that off. It's one thing to have a complex in Murfreesboro or Franklin. It's another thing to have a complex in Loretto, or there was also a tournament, by the way, in Deckard, Tennessee. I think that's how you pronounce it. It looks like Deckard, but I think it's called Deckard. I've never been there.
I've never heard of that, to be honest with you. So yeah.
There was a tournament in Deckard yesterday, and I believe they're having another tournament this weekend. So,
but along the lines, Darren, you mentioned the waiver. I was looking at the tournament that our team is scheduled to play in the Atlanta area, and they do have a waiver that every parent and player must sign, basically saying there's going to be risk involved. It mentions COVID-19 specifically, and it says, you know, you're accountable.
Yeah, well, you have to virtually sign it, or your kid's not eligible. So, I mean, that's right. What was told to me. So that was pretty interesting, because I wasn't sure if they were going to do that or not, and indeed they did. When I told you the fields in Smyrna opened up on Friday officially for the first time, and that's where we had the scrimmage at Lee Victory Park, and they had actually pushed all the bleachers together at each field and basically roped them off. So that was pretty interesting to see. So everybody had to bring their own chair, and that helped, of course, with everybody kind of spreading out. But, yeah, they had removed the bleachers and just put them in basically the middle of the complex and roped them off. So there were no bleachers actually sitting there at the fields.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move. That's what we did as a group, spread around. That's why they're trying to keep it to one parent or one relative per player, so that you don't run into a situation where it does get too crowded, because you are trying to spread around. You're not going to have people clustered sitting behind home plate or right up the baseline like is the normal setup there. And also, I'm going to commend this tournament that we're scheduled to play in. They have a page full of things saying, here are the safety measures we're taking. That made me feel a lot better about things, right, is they're thinking about this stuff, right? They have a website, and they're saying, here's what we're trying to do. The parent, one parent per player is mentioned in there, but also here's the sanitizer and all of this stuff. When you come into the park, make sure you space out. Let's not have a big line getting in. Let's go cashless.
Well, they went a gate fee with each team. So basically it was up to the team to collect from the parents. And that's smart, because when you go to these youth tournaments, you know, at least the ones that we've participated in, usually they have someone set up at a front entrance or an entrance, and they're taking, you have to pay if you're a spectator. You have to pay, you know, for a day, or they'll usually,
right, usually
a little bit of a deal for the
weekend.
You
know, they take or 15 bucks.
Right. Yeah. It's then they'll take a dollar off if you buy for the weekend. You know, you're going to be there Saturday and Sunday.
I always wonder about this. Like, okay, great deal. I mean, give me like $5.
Right.
No,
it's like
$8.
This is what it's always.
$1 extra?
$8
like,
a day, or $15 for the weekend. Whoa. Wow.
Man.
Sign me up.
What a deal. Yeah. Definitely give me the 2-day deal.
Then you do that and it rains the second day and they're like, aha.
So what they did is they had an entry fee and then they had a gate fee. And quite honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't go to that format. To always be collecting and handing out wristbands, you know, to everybody, and you've got to have the wristband, you know, the next day, and what do you do? You know how many times people are like, oh, my gosh, I lost the wristband, you know, and it's you got to figure out, you know. My guess is they'll probably, some of them will just adopt gate fees. And actually, when you break it down, the gate fees that I heard, it was probably a little bit cheaper than what we're talking about, unless it was 10 for the weekend. But a lot of them we went to, it was like 15 for the weekend, and this would have been cheaper if you actually break it up amongst every family on a team. So I wouldn't be surprised. It's a little bit cleaner. You know, when you sign up, you're paying the entry fee and a gate fee, and that way you don't have to – the tournaments don't have to fool with collecting with everybody. I don't know. I'll be curious to see how they handle that moving forward. I know Mike is on hold, and he wants to talk about youth baseball. Mike, what's up?
Well, I actually stopped by that one in Georgia 2 years ago on my way back from Clemson, and that is a sweet complex. They I want to say they had, I don't know, 12 or 20 fields. Some of them are turf. They got press box where the college coaches can sit and watch like four games at a time. And I want to say they even charge you to park there.
Is this north of Atlanta?
It's Lake Point. Yeah, it's called Lake Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer than East Cobb is now.
Yep.
Now, I got to go umpire about 15 years ago up in Cooperstown. And I don't know if you've ever heard about the complex up there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So we've had
a lot of teams that I know have taken teams up there to play. They've had a wonderful experience going up there.
Yeah, you know, they take their umpire with them. We work for free, but it's kind of cool. We got to go down to the Hall of Fame. And the best thing I liked about up there is they don't let the fans sit behind the plate. They have to sit way down in the corners. And that was a nice thing as an umpire.
Yeah, and the kids, I think, the kids stay in bunk beds, like barracks, kind of away from the parents, separate from the parents.
They do.
So, Darren, this is something you and your group should think about in the coming years when your kids are 11 or 12. That's when most people do it.
Hmm.
Our team decided not to do it, but there are some teams that we played against a lot that did go up there. It's different. It's hard. You got kids from all over the country playing, and you got a wide range of skill levels. But of course, the experience of going to the Hall of Fame, I have had that experience, and that is well worth it. It's a little expensive because you got to get everybody up
sure.
there. But mm-hmm. down the road, that's something definitely to think about.
Oh, no doubt.
So, Mike, you would agree? You think it's? Did you enjoy that overall?
I think
just being
he's
up
gone.
There.
Yeah, he hung.
He's gone. Sorry.
Is that the complex that both of you are talking about? The one where the Bobby Cox and Chipper Jones, some of the Braves are involved in? Is that the one
where they actually played a major league game?
No, where they've put money, they've invested into that. That's their big investors into that complex.
Oh, I hadn't.
Is that
you're
the
talking
one?
About Lake Point?
If that's
you're
the
back
one,
to
is that close
now.
To like Dallas, Georgia, up north of Atlanta?
It's north of the city. Yeah.
Okay.
We've switched from Cooperstown, New York, to
Lake Point,
in Georgia again. Okay, so for Lake Point,
Emerson, Georgia.
Yeah, it's Emerson, Georgia. It's north of the city, so it takes a little less time to get there from here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Cobb?
It's quite a bit before
Cobb
you get to. I don't think it's even in Cobb. It's a good ways from downtown Atlanta. It's probably saves you 30,
that's,
40 minutes.
That's the same place then. That yeah, there's
oh,
a bunch
yeah,
of
it's
a,
it, yeah.
It's huge.
Bartow
it's
County.
Massive. But yeah, the Cooperstown one is. I don't think there's any doubt that. That would be something that we would be interested in. That's kind of a once in a lifetime experience, right? So it's got to be on
in
your
Cooperstown.
List. Yeah,
Cooperstown.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely! Once in a lifetime, it would be awesome to do. That's a bucket list. Got to do that.
Unfortunately, a Hall of Fame college football coach has passed away today. We'll tell you who that is to wrap up the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. One of our pump me up songs for our baseball team. Hey, if you own or manage a small business, you want to let people know that you are back open, we've got our free Business Friday we've been doing on Fridays, which has been a big hit here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're here for you. And once again, this Friday, again, offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. This is a no-cost, no-catch offer. Visit GameNashville.com/FBF. That's GameNashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. Like I said, it's been a big hit, and we appreciate everybody who has jumped on board. I told you, unfortunately, some sad news in the Auburn community. Their Hall of Fame coach, Pat Dye, has died at age 80. He had been dealing with some kidney issues, and also, as we know, we learned here recently that he had tested positive for COVID-19. And the unbelievable Auburn football coach who was there throughout the 80s and early 90s, Pat Dye, has indeed passed away today at his home. Or actually, he was put into a home. Down in the state of Alabama. So just wanted to pass that along, and our thoughts and prayers are with the Dye family. Tell you what, a lot of good Auburn football on Pat Dye's watch.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's sad news.
You know, that's a lot of history right there. That's a very sad story. And, you know, these are all the things we're trying to learn about the virus, right? When you have, you know, it sounds to me like that fits the category, and I'm not going to pretend to know all the facts here, but when you say kidney issue and then you get the virus, the combination of that puts you in a real vulnerable spot. So
and 80 years
that's
old.
Sad news. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. In the age range, for sure. So that is tough to hear. I think of Pat Dye. I think of some nice things he's done. He's done a lot of speaking engagements for charity, one of which comes to mind. He did one with Johnny Majors for Stars at Jimmy Kelly's, where, Darren, you know, you and I, and Chase, you've been there, done a lot of shows over there for the game. You know, Herm Edwards, he was sponsored by Jimmy's, right? And so they did a great fundraiser. Coach Dye and Coach Majors did some storytelling over there. Pat Dye goes way back for those that maybe, you know, are from a different area and didn't grow up with SEC football, but, you know, some powerful Auburn teams, the Bo Jackson teams.
I mean, he recruited Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
He recruited Tracy Rocker.
Sure. Sure.
He won the Outland Trophy on his watch.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Rocker, does that anybody connect the dots why you've heard that name? There's a lot of ties to Nashville.
Yep.
Lots of ties.
Yeah.
May have been a Titans coach and a son. Will be the number one pick overall in the Bigs.
I don't know if there's a maybe about that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think there's a maybe either.
It's a solid thing. Yeah, and you bring up Jimmy Kelly's. You know, our guest coming up in a few minutes likes to talk about Jimmy Kelly's. So when he's doing an impersonation of somebody.
Oh, yeah? He likes to weave in Jimmy Kelly's?
He does.
Okay. Yeah.
You've heard that before.
Oh, I've heard it, yeah.
So always a time. But, yeah, sad news about Pat Dye. As you said, a lot of good football played at Auburn during his day.
No doubt about it. So I wanted to pass that along as we sit here on this Monday and as our city continues to heal from this weekend. There was a lot of curfews. I know Murfreesboro even had a curfew. There was an incident.
Nashville has one tonight.
Yep, there's another curfew tonight for downtown for Nashville, and there was a little bit, I think, a peaceful protest in Murfreesboro last night, but did lead to some tear gas, I think, is what was reported. And there was a curfew implemented in Murfreesboro. So there's a lot of healing. But as we've said throughout the course of today, still, you know, there's still people that want the message out, and there still needs to be awareness. There's still a whole lot of work in front of us to do. This is not over. It's just like things opening up with coronavirus. There's still a lot of work to do. We're not out of the woods, and we're certainly not out of the woods when it comes to this topic and this discussion. There's still a lot more work to be done. But forward progress is good progress, and that's what we need to do. And I hope, you know, I hope we don't ever have an incident like that again. What happened Saturday night, it pains me to see that. I don't even like to look at it anymore because that's not what I think of when it comes to Nashville. Let's make sure that we stay on point. Let's make sure that the message doesn't veer off the path. Let's not bring innocent people into this. Let's not affect their lives. Let's not affect property, innocent property that had nothing to do with any of this that we're talking about. So let's stay on point, stay on the path. And I think we'll be a better place for it. And Nashville, just like everything, we'll fix it up, we'll recover. And something that Todd Rodemel brought up, it was a nice gesture by the Predators. There was some graffiti that was spray-painted on Bridgestone Arena, and as they were working to get that taken care of on Sunday, a nice gesture to hand out Nashville Strong T-shirts to those people doing that. So, like I said, Nashville does what Nashville always does. We'll recover from this. We'll repair, we'll fix everything, and hopefully we'll be better on the other side.
Well said. And that was, you know, there were some uplifting things, right? There were some really disturbing things to watch, but there were some uplifting things in the last 24 hours, not just in Nashville, but so I commend those people. And that was one of them you said is, you know, the going and making the effort to come up there and say, you know, I want to be part of the cleanup. You know, maybe I wasn't responsible for any of this, had nothing to do with it, but I just want to help clean up. I want to get us going in the right direction again. I'm going to do something about this graffiti over here. That's the right attitude, you know? And like we've been saying, I don't know if I have all the answers for any of this stuff, but you want to try to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what can I do? You know, how can I be better? How can I help? And then go from there.
Start with having the right mindset. Honestly.
No doubt.
That's the key to it.
I mean, that's look
and,
within.
And asking yourself about, you know, how is my mindset? You know, do a little self-evaluation. You know, do I need to think about my mindset some?
And if you're unsure on that, then, I mean, have a conversation with somebody. That's the other part of it is.
Yeah.
It's
the key word being conversation.
Yeah.
Right, and not just scroll down your phone and read extreme opinions. You know, just talk to some people. You know, have a good discussion, a constructive discussion. Maybe somebody who's not from your same background, right?
Right, and that's the key. That's what I mean by that. You know, and like I said earlier about Tehran, that I have, you know, gotten to know him and be friends with him and work together, and he's taught me a lot of different things, and it's more than just about football. It's, you know, it's about life, and he's somebody, you know, I feel comfortable asking questions about, you know, questions too, and that's what we have to do. It's okay to talk to people, and it's okay to ask questions, and it's even more okay to have uncomfortable conversations, that because I think we're all just uncomfortable when we don't know something about everything, and learning sometimes you have to go down, you know, ask the uncomfortable questions to learn more about it, and people just need to be willing to do that.
Look, the three of us are not going to pretend to have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. Never will. The three of us, there's some things we'll never understand either, because we don't walk in those shoes and we haven't had those experiences. But we can try to do the right thing, as I know the three, and I can speak for the other two because I've known them long enough and I know enough about them that the three of us don't think like that, because we don't think about this stuff too much because we don't live our life thinking about that stuff that we don't associate. I have a hard time associating a lot of times when I hear this stuff because I've never lived it. I've never been through it, and I don't judge people like that. So it's hard for me to comprehend, but I also understand I'm not naive and I'm not stupid. I know that stuff's going on. It's not like we haven't been around people that have that mindset. I mean, come on, let's not be dumb here. We know we've seen stuff that disgusts us on social media or stuff people have said. We probably all have a relative or a friend that has a certain mindset that makes you want to walk away from them, right, or shake your head, or have a conversation with them. I think that's part of what we're talking about. Like, the three of us will never truly understand because we don't walk in those shoes. But part of making a difference is whenever people do speak out of turn or people do have the wrong mindset, you know, you can at least have a conversation with them and try to figure out why they have that mindset. I mean, that's all we can do, because a lot of this we'll never experience. Derek Mason was on over the weekend, and it was a really good interview, and it was on ESPN. Was this on ESPN Radio, I'm assuming?
Yeah, with Peter Burns and Katie George. Best week ever.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt football coach had this to say.
Everybody across the country is experiencing, you know, waves of emotion, you know, right now. And, you know, I think Killer Mike said it the best, you know, the other night when I was listening to, you know, and him speak in Atlanta, you know, and him just talking about, you know, man, where we are now. I mean, we've got to stop, and we've got to pay attention to what's really going on, and we've got to, you know, address the issues for what they are, and not turn on ourselves, man, because there's enough things going on right now, you know, with us looking at, you know, man, videos and seeing what's happening, you know, with people and understanding that, you know what, this isn't right. You know, I mean, I'll share a story with you, Peter and Katie. I mean, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and this is how, you know, I mean, it really hit home for me. My wife said, Derek, I'm looking at you, and I can remember your dad. My stepdad's an ex-military guy, but she said, when I first met you, he always had this lanyard around his neck, and he always had one for you. And he was on you all the time about wearing that lanyard around your neck. And here's why. He always wanted me to keep my driver's license and my registration around my neck. So if I ever got pulled over, okay, man, I would never have to reach, you know, for anything or reach in a glove compartment. And, you know, that's sort of what my conversation was about yesterday, just a little bit. It's like, okay, man, you grow up, you know, in this microcosm of okay, man, do these things and make it home safe. Okay, and that's what I was always told. Do these things and you make it home safe. And, you know, even in doing these things, you know, man, what we saw, you know, with the death of you know, man, George Floyd was the idea, man, that he did things right and he didn't make it home safe. And that's scary. That's scary for a lot of parents. That's scary for, you know, young men in this country. So, man, we got to address these issues and we got to make sure we get it right.
That's what I'm talking about with the three of us. We've never lived that. And that's pretty strong words. They're from Derek Mason talking about what he was told, and I've never thought like that. I mean, I'm just being totally honest. So how I'm not going to be phony about it. If I've never thought like that, how could I possibly try to get in the mindset? I've never had to live in those shoes, so I couldn't possibly know what that's like. So that's kind of what we're talking about. But we can also talk about the subjects, right, and try to keep an open dialogue of what's going on around the country and what went on in our city this weekend. So that we wanted you to hear that. That was some pretty powerful stuff there from Derek Mason, who we always enjoy our conversations and are not surprised by his words. We will come back, and Caleb Joseph will start the fourth and final hour on this Monday of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.